This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanic.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. It is Rob and Souk, your sports bros, on another beautiful Northwest Thursday.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to last all week, isn't it?
Didn't we just talk about this?
I think we did, and that's why I'm saying I think you said that it was supposed to last all week.
Now, do you define that as through Friday, or do you find that as define that as through Sunday?
Because no, Sunday.
Okay, so no, it's supposed to rain this weekend.
Oh, well, that's
we just talked about that.
I don't remember.
Man, you are something.
I thought you. I've been hitting the head a lot. What do you want from me?
Well, we did talk about it, and I think it's supposed to rain this weekend. But you know, off and on, it won't be bad.
Showers.
It's not going to be bad yet.
Sprinklies.
So it is at least for now. It's beautiful out there.
Enjoy the weather.
Coming up here, we've got some college football talk, set you up for the weekend. At this point, I think we're taking how dominant Alabama is for granted.
Yeah, they put out the odds today. If Alabama played the other top four teams in the country, and Vegas seems to think that Alabama is quite a bit better than everyone else because, well, they have a quarterback now.
We'll have a few nuggets on Oregon, Stanford, and I do have audio when sports figures speak and our NFL stat nerd segment we didn't get to yesterday. So a lot to cover this hour. Coming up in the club, the mysterious observatory closure has been explained.
Yeah, I saw that finally.
And I've got a horrifying story of someone's hair being ripped off.
Ooh.
Cold off. Like cold off, bro. This story will... It's crazy.
At least mine had the decency to just naturally fall out.
Yes.
Have you seen the dumpster whale?
Not this woman. Yeah, I read about that today.
I'd like to discuss the dumpster whale if we could.
Nobody said it was.
Holy hell.
We also haven't discussed weed in Florida.
Oh, yeah, weed in Florida.
Oh, yeah. The weed fight.
Yeah.
But the dumpster whale, to me, just it dominated.
Fascinating.
It dominated my internet searches this morning.
Well, baby whales are large. Because they're babies doesn't mean they're small.
Dumpster whale. That's a whole thing.
So we've got a club hour, another club hour coming up for you. It's crazy. They're letting us do it again tonight from 6 to 7. Right now, the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
Refreshed by Frostbrewed Coors Light. Download the reward app and start earning points towards one-of-a-kind experiences, game tickets, and rewards.
As a woman, I've got sexuality to promote.
These nuts!
Why? Number five.
Round one of the Tour Championship in Goff. Tiger Woods and Ricky Fowler shot 5 under 65s today. They are tied for the lead. The current points leader is Bryson DeChambeau, and he was just 1 over 71, which opens the door for Justin Rose, who was number 2 on the points list going in, and he dialed in a 4 under 66. So it could be a pretty fun race down the stretch. Rory McIlroy, Justin Thomas among the guys 3 under. Phil Mickelson last place. He pretty much just sucks now. He's 3 over 73.
Three tournaments, right, to determine this?
There are four. There will be only three beginning next year, okay. And this is the last one. This is the final tournament. So the whoever is number one on the points list,
not who wins this tournament,
it gets $10 million at the end of this event. And then we go to the Ryder Cup. Next week's the Ryder Cup, dude.
Yeah, right around the corner. See, that's exciting. No offense, but the Tour Championship...
Number four.
I think a lot of people give it a meh, but hey, $10 million.
We do have some NFL football tonight. Browns are looking to snap a 19-game winless streak hosting Sam Darnold and the Jets. Boy, could you get a worse effing Thursday night football game, please?
Yeah, you could.
I guess you probably could. The Browns are mildly interesting this year.
I'd give you the Cardinals.
Cardinals-Bears, they're playing this week.
Ooh. Nah, I kind of like
if you just keep it to the week two schedule.
This is
give me a worse game.
Well, how about this? Cleveland is, for the first time since Johnny Manziel was a starter, Cleveland's favored. Yeah. In this game. They're favored by a field goal.
Yeah, they sure are. And they have a new kicker. If you're wondering, Zane Gonzalez got the boot. Greg Joseph is a rookie out of Florida Atlantic, and apparently he won a four-man competition in practice. Also, Colin Kaepernick's agent is hinting to stay tuned. He says there could be some news next week. Apparently, two AFC teams are interested in Colin Kaepernick's services.
New England was one that I saw, and...
Football, I mean.
I can't remember who the other one was, but I saw that the rumor was it was New England and someone else, which is really surprising.
Raiders.
What?
Raiders.
The Raiders.
Number three.
Which is surprising because everyone just kind of assumed that with the lawsuit and the ad and the controversy that his window is shut. He hadn't played in 2 years.
The A's beat the Angels today by a final of 21-3.
Now that's bad.
That is what they call an old-fashioned ass-kicking.
That is a New York Mets-type ass-kicking.
Here's a fun fact. Francisco Arcia, mm-hmm. catcher for the Angels, first player in Major League history to pitch and catch and hit a home run in the same game.
Do you feel good? So he lost, what you said, 20...
21-3.
Do you feel good?
No.
After that? Do you go in the locker room and are like, hey, you know what?
I bet you for
not
him...
Not a bad little outing.
I'm guessing for him the fun part was pitching. Yeah. I think position players, when they get thrown into pitch, I bet you that's fun.
I would think so. I mean, I saw Jose Reyes did that for the Mets, and he was beaming about it. And was
the game's
actually,
over.
Was actually pretty good. Well, the season's over for the Angels. You're not playing for anything. Get out
right.
there and see what you got on the mound.
So the A's are now back to 2 games back of the Yankees for the home field advantage in the AL wildcard game. Yanks are currently losing to the Red Sox in the second inning. It is 3-0.
And of course, this is the Red Sox just need one of these in order to clinch, but the Yankees have prevented it the last couple games.
And the Dodgers swept the Rockies, so the Dodgers now lead the NL West by 2.5.
Yep.
And Colorado has dropped a game and a half back of the Cardinals for a spot in the NL wildcard game.
And that's the last wildcard battle. I mean, I think the next one is 5 back, so it's going to come down to those two teams.
Nobody's talking about them, but Washington State, Colorado, and Cal are all 3-0 headed into Pac-12 play. A big blow to the Bears today, however. Justin Wilcox, their coach, announcing that starting linebacker Cameron Good is out for the season with a lower body injury. He was hurt a couple games ago. They were fearful that maybe it would be long-term, hopeful that it wouldn't be, but it is. He is out. Ohio State has Urbsy back, but their stud pass rusher, Joey Bosa, he's going to be out indefinitely after surgery on a core muscle injury.
Nick Bosa.
Oh, sorry, Nick Bosa. Yeah,
Joey Bosa is the plays in the Chargers.
Yeah, my
but,
bad.
Yeah, Nick Bosa, who most people, well, Mel Kiper thinks is the best player in college football. So he's out indefinitely. There's a chance he can come back and play. We had one of our guys who was a star linebacker had that. He had an abdominal muscle ripped, and he missed like 6 weeks, but was able to come back. So we'll see at some point. It's a long season. It's early on if he can come back.
Ohio State is playing Tulane this week, and they do have a big game visiting Penn State next week. And it is Thursday, so key NFL injury news is important to you fantasy bros out there. Aaron Rodgers was out of practice again today in Green Bay. The Packers are going to our nation's capital to take on the Redskins this week.
It sounds like Rodgers, for the foreseeable future, isn't going to practice.
Yeah, but many think he's just kind of following the same script as last week, and he'll be in there on Sunday. He just doesn't want to practice, and yeah. He thinks he's going to do more damage to it, so he'll just be out there on Sundays.
Well, let's be honest. Aaron Rodgers, he doesn't have to practice. It'd be nice if he could, but something tells me that he'll be okay.
Marcus Mariota says he's waiting for the nerve in his elbow to settle down. He still has some throws that he can't make. Now, that said, he was back practicing and has a better chance to play this week than he did last week for the Titans. So they are playing Jacksonville. And the Jags say that running back Leonard Fournette, who has been limited but back at practice for the second straight day, he should be a go.
How about the Titans, by the way, just going like wildcat action with no Mariota and their backup sucking eggs?
Yeah, that game, well, they won, though.
They won.
They beat what some think is actually a good team. In the Texans.
Yeah.
You know, that was a weird game.
The Texans with that defensive line, they're last in the league in sacks and quarterback pressures.
I know, it's crazy.
Like, we all thought that Houston, who's had a good defense this whole time, just hadn't had a quarterback, that defense was going to be good, that Deshaun Watson was going to be back, and that maybe Houston was a contender, and Houston has looked awful so far.
A couple of you asking how that Angels catcher did when he pitched. That is actually a good question. He pitched two innings, the last two. Mm-hmm. He gave up four hits and three runs.
Oh, man.
So better than the other Angels pitchers.
Let me ask you this. What is good for a position player?
I think that's fantastic.
You're happy with that?
Absolutely.
Four hits, three runs, two innings?
He ate up two innings for you. That's all you want.
Steve Traxel did, some innings up.
Schumacher started, he gave up five, and the next guy got one out and gave up six.
Well, it is true. I mean, once you're down by 20, does it really matter?
Here's another guy named Almonte who came in, didn't get anybody out, and gave up five.
Oh, so, you know what? Pretty effective.
Good grief. They should have started Arcia.
Nice little outing. A smack on the fanny and head to the showers.
All right, the Hot 5 at 5 is refreshed by Frost Brew Coors Light. Download Coors Light's new rewards app and start earning points towards one-of-a-kind experiences and game tickets. Let's take a look at the college football weekend, including Oregon-Stanford, coming up next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, let's get down to business. Damn it.
Wow, you're pretty fiery.
Let's go. Come on, man.
What are we
rocking you on a Friday? Why did I say that?
We're not rocking you on a Friday. It's a Thursday. I wasn't ready to rock anyone.
I'm ready. Let's rock.
You have to give me advance notice to rock.
Come on, bros.
No, Rob, I'm just not here for your just whimsy. I can't just turn it on whenever you feel like it.
Did you not just see him rocking out to the bump music?
I need to be romanced,
come on, bro.
Too.
So college football this weekend. All eyes are really on Oregon there.
Yeah, it's the
game of the week.
Game day is going to be there. That generally indicates the biggest game. And
do we know if Lee Corso is actually still alive?
He's going to be there. I don't know if it's his body, like Weekend at Bernie's style, or if he's still alive, but he will be there in some fashion.
They'd probably do that with him, wouldn't they? Just throw him up there and all dead. Put some makeup on him. I mean, he's half dead anyway.
I will say that your anti Lee Corso stance,
he's horrible,
is one of the braver things that you've done in this program.
Braver?
It is. Lee Corso, for most people, is an untouchable figure. Yeah.
Why?
Because he's old and he's revered and he's had health problems, and not many people have the courage to attack a defenseless old man, but not you, Isaac Ropp. Not you.
Old, revered, and like, I don't know, just Lee Corso the guy?
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
But they're putting him on that. They're still propping him up there. And he is awful show.
I honestly don't think he knows what's
no,
happening.
He doesn't. And that's what I'm saying. They've got to pull the cord on him, man. They just do.
You can't say pull the cord in regards to an old man.
Sorry. They got to kick him off of there.
No one's trying to off Lee Corso.
Kick out the back of his chair.
Wow.
Get him out of there.
Break his hip?
No, I'm just saying. I don't know. Anyway,
who
cares about
him? Goes to put on the duck head and it's like he's too old and frail and he tips over and falls off the stage? What if Lee Corso just ends up like really hurting himself or dying on set one day? Is ESPN responsible for that? For keep rolling him out there?
They got to get him off that show. Anyway, do we know who the celebrity picker is yet?
No.
Got that?
Everyone wants it to be The Rock, but
yeah.
I don't know.
Does it matter?
I don't think it's going to be The Rock.
Who do you think it's going to be, bro?
I have no idea. Some of the rumors I've heard, Big Boy, the guy from Outkast, I've heard him. People say the guy from Modern Family, but he's done it before. I don't know. Phil Knight. Who knows? Neil Everett, perhaps.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
I mean, try to think of people with Oregon ties, right?
What about you?
I don't have any Oregon ties. I did live in Gresham and Woodburn once, though, so... But I did not attend the university.
Do you think they'll underwhelm us with the celebrity picker?
They did say it was big. So the rumor is that like The Rock and Cristobal supposedly are good friends.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone keeps waiting for
that'd
the...
That'd be cool.
Well, hell yeah, it would be. The Rock?
That would be cool.
Find me a... If you could... In all of Celebrityville... I don't know if that's a real place. Let's just go with LA, if you will. Hollywood? Find me someone that would be cooler on game day to have represent your school than the gall darn Rock. What?
Yeah, I don't think you can. I mean, that's really good. And then what they could do is they could have him body slam Lee Corso and just finish it.
Wow.
What?
Just his bones turn to dust as the Rock crushes him.
If it's the Rock, it would be cool. You're absolutely right about that. So we'll just have to wait and see. We have no info. But Alabama's playing Texas A&M.
Yeah, that's a, what, one versus, I think A&M's 22-23. And A&M gave Clemson all they could handle. Now, that was at Texas A&M. I'm trying to see, this one is at Alabama. But, you know, if you think Clemson is one of the top three or four teams in the country, as the polls do, then maybe this ends up being a pretty good game.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Alabama has
Dude, Alabama
really good, but they haven't really played anybody.
Well, you know, I said that and you guys yelled at me because they played Louisville and you said, well, Louisville's not a cupcake.
Well, they're not, but Louisville was, it could be a down year for them. And then they beat like Arkansas State and they beat the brakes off of Ole Miss.
Yeah. So that's not exactly.
No, it's not.
I mean, it's not Oregon's schedule.
No, it's not.
Louisville and Ole Miss.
Those are two programs that traditionally have been pretty good the last handful of years.
But I think we're starting to take for granted how dominant they are, man. It seems like they've even gotten better now that they have. So they've dominated for how many years now?
Well, they've won 5 in 9 years.
5 in 9. So, like, basically the last 10 years, they've been dominant.
Yes. And they've made the college football playoff every year.
And they're getting better because now they have this Tua guy who comes in and just literally carries them to a championship as a true freshman. Like, yeah. It's getting ridiculous. I mean, all the talk last week was about, early this week was about how Ohio State looks so good playing TCU, right? TCU gave them a run for their money, but Ohio State had another gear, and, oh, man, Ohio State. We did anyone notice what Bama did to Ole Miss? They beat them 62-7. So their three wins are 51-14, 57-7, and 62-7.
And they called.
And they're favored by 26 over Texas A&M.
They called off the dogs against Ole Miss at 62-7.
God,
that could have been 85-0 had they wanted it to.
Doesn't it feel like that though with Bama?
It does.
And they used to be sort of gettable.
Mm-hmm.
But not really, but gettable. Now they just feel like, I mean, it just feels like there's no way you beat them.
Well, it's the first time that they've had a complete quarterback. And that's, think about that. They've won 5 national titles in less than 10 years. And we're saying this is the first time they've had a real dominant quarterback. I mean, AJ McCarron is one of the most winning quarterbacks in NCAA history. Jalen Hurts was the SEC offensive and freshman of the year and is 26-2 as a starter. And yet we're saying that for the first time, they really have a star at quarterback. And maybe they've just lapped college football now that the Tua kid is in there, but you know, their toughest games are still to come. Right. They've got to go on the road to Tennessee, on the road to LSU. Mississippi State's pretty good. And then they get Auburn, but Auburn's at home. So there's a lot of football left to be played. But yes, at this point in the season, Alabama seems to be that much better than everyone else. And I'll look it up. But Vegas came out today with odds. If the games happen today, the four teams behind Alabama in the college football playoff race right now, the closest one, I think, was Ohio State, and that was 9.5 or 10.5. They're favored by double digits basically against every team in college football right now.
God, that's crazy. And the other thing, too, is like it seems like, in a way too early, but it just feels like it's going to be Ohio State, Clemson, Alabama, and then, you know, one other one who gets in there that won't win it again. It's the same teams.
Yeah.
I'm getting a little tired of this.
Well, maybe. I'm trying to think of someone that could throw a monkey wrench into this, right? Washington.
Yeah, give me one.
Washington doesn't really look the part. I don't feel like they.
Here's one. Georgia.
Yeah, but
they were there last year.
They were there last year. Yeah, so here it is. So these are the lines right now, according to Vegas.
Against Oklahoma, maybe.
Yeah. So
they're fun. Oklahoma's fun to watch.
So according to Vegas, these are the four best teams in the country, not named Alabama, right? Ohio State is the second best team, according to Vegas. 9.5 on a neutral field. Georgia comes in behind them, 10.5 on a neutral field. Clemson, 11.5, and Oklahoma, 14.5. Those are the four best teams according to Vegas, and
jeez,
that's the odds.
Well, I'd like to see Oklahoma get a crack at him.
See,
Kyler Murray, he looks pretty good.
He does, but something I don't.
You don't buying them?
No, I'm not buying. Not against Alabama. I'm not buying the Big 12. The team that I honestly would want to see is Ohio State. Because I think Ohio State has the athletes on offense and the defensive line to maybe do something there. And I think Urban Meyer is probably a better game coach than Nick Saban. And with some time to prepare in a college football playoff system, you give those guys a month. I think Urban Meyer can come up with some stuff. I thought a couple years ago when Ohio State beat Alabama and then went on and beat Oregon in the national championship game, Alabama was the best team in the country that year, and Ohio State upset them. So yeah, if you were going to have a team that I think could upset Alabama in a one game situation, I would like to see Ohio State get a crack at that. But no,
you don't think LSU could maybe being so familiar.
I don't think their offense is good enough.
No.
And that's the scary thing is I think in years past, the idea was you could muddle it up with Alabama and play a low scoring game. You have to score points. And this already started with Jalen Hurts. People forget when the year that Lane Kiffin was there. So the year they lost to Clemson 2 years ago, right? They set every Alabama record for scoring. And Jalen Hurts, granted he's limited, but Lane Kiffin and Jalen Hurts brought Alabama's offense into the modern era, and you had to score points to beat him. And Clemson was able to do that in the title game. Now the offense has become that much more potent, but I just don't think a team like LSU, to be honest with you, with Tua at quarterback for Alabama, I don't think you're going to be able to play a game in the teens. And LSU to me can't score enough. They can't score into the high 20s, 30s. And I think you're going to have to do that to beat Alabama. And I think a team like Ohio State or maybe even Oklahoma with Kyler Murray, you know, you're going to have to be able to put up points.
Scary good, man. So I guess maybe that could technically on paper be a good game, but it doesn't seem like it.
And that's
Alabama A&M I'm talking about.
Yeah. And that's the only team in America, by the way, in Ohio State that I think the country would root for Alabama.
Oh, for sure. Well, yeah, I mean,
no one's rooting for Alabama unless you're an Alabama fan. But if they played Ohio State, I feel like the general public would root for Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, no one's rooting for either, but we can all unite in our hatred of Herbs.
Yeah, I think
so. And just beat down Urban Meyer.
Yeah, it's something when you make Nick Saban look like a swell guy. And the Better You Today text line, this guy does point this out. If Lane Kiffin and Saban don't cross swords,
go out.
Alabama has 6 national championships. They wouldn't have lost that game to Clemson had Lane Kiffin been there.
6-9.
6-9. If Lane Kiffin doesn't leave, I have no doubt because their offense did nothing for the entire second half, and Sark had his thumb up as you know what. They were up, I think, 10 in the second half, maybe in the fourth quarter against Clemson, and their offense just couldn't hold it. Yeah, crazy. If Lane Kiffin sticks around, they've probably got 6.
All right, what is the key to Oregon beating Stanford? Because hey, if Oregon wins, they're 4-0.
And then that game against Washington.
Well, don't overlook Cal.
That's true.
You got to go on the road.
But the game against Washington takes on huge significance.
Yeah, that's a big game. So we'll get into that coming up next. Here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
We're going to get to the NFL in our next segment, but just a quick stat update from Thursday Night Football. Tyrod Taylor, 0-for-5, 0 yards.
Yeah, their offense,
is that good?
In case you couldn't tell, not necessarily clicking. A couple of those, too, were really bad overthrows, although one wasn't his fault. It was a flea flicker, and he had a guy wrapped around his ankles.
So Oregon, Stanford, where are your eyes? How does Oregon win this game?
Oregon has to be able to run the ball. Plain and simple. If Oregon can't run the ball better than they have, they won't beat Stanford. You can't be one-dimensional. Herbert has obviously all the talent in the world, and he's been the difference in these three cupcakes that they've played. But if Stanford can play with 7 guys in the box and stop Oregon's run game, and San Jose State, I think maybe exposed a little bit of this offensive line. They ran a lot of stunts, a lot of games, and Oregon's offensive line wasn't able to pick it up, and they averaged less than 3 yards carry. If Stanford can control the run game and keep 2 safeties back and force everything underneath, Justin Herbert hasn't looked that good on the intermediate stuff. In fact, that's where a lot of his mistakes have come. Where he's looked really good is pressing the ball downfield. But if Stanford can make Oregon one-dimensional, play 2 deep safeties and keep everything in front of them, this is going to be really hard for Oregon to win this football game. If they can come out, run the ball, force Stanford to play a safety up, run a little play action, and then let Herbert release the ball downfield a little bit and try to pick on the Stanford secondary, some one-on-one matchups. Oregon's got some talent on the outside. It's inconsistent, and they've had some drops, but that's what they need to do in order to win this game. And that's a big question because the run game against really inferior competition hasn't looked great. It's looked good, but it hadn't looked great. And then against San Jose State, which is the best of the three crappy teams they've played, the run game downright looked crappy.
Do you think they have what it takes to slow down Bryce Love, though, on the other side?
Well, it's interesting in that...
Because I feel like they do.
If we go to the other side, Stanford hasn't looked great running the football either. Stanford has done most of their damage in throwing the football.
Yeah.
Teams have been putting eight guys in the box and saying, we're not going to let Bryce Love beat us. Except when you watch Stanford play, and I've seen basically the entire two games they played, and then I watched pieces of UC Davis... And you can actually say probably the same thing about Oregon. I feel like both of these teams are maybe close to clicking in the run game, especially Stanford. And I asked David Shaw about this on the conference call. There's five or six plays a game with Stanford where Bryce Love is one guy away from breaking a 60-yard touchdown run. And it's you fall off a block. There's a holding penalty. There's one little mistake. And if Stanford cleans that up and gets that run game going, then Stanford becomes really dangerous, because right now Stanford is having to rely a lot on the arm of Costello, and they've got some weapons on the outside, and Stanford can throw the ball a little bit, but Stanford hasn't been able to really be the ground and pound team that we've come to expect from Stanford, especially when they have arguably the best running back in the country in Bryce Love, who hasn't been nearly as explosive through these first 3 weeks, although he didn't play against UC Davis because of the concussion.
But wasn't it last year that Stanford came out and torched Oregon?
Yeah, and that was Keller Crist.
And they did it through the air.
Yeah.
Like Crist just
lit him up.
Yeah, I wonder if, I don't know, Costello's not bad, man.
No.
When I watch him, I feel like, I don't know, I wonder if they could do the same thing as last year. Everybody's talking about Bryce Love. Everybody's talking about the run games. Everybody talks about the trenches. What about Costello just picking apart the corners?
Yeah, and they've got some guys on the outside that are actually pretty good. When you look at Caden Smith and then J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, who, look, you've got some good receivers in the Pac-12. I mean, N'Keal Harry might be the first receiver taken off the board, but Whiteside for Stanford is one of the better receivers. He's got 13 catches, 324 yards, 25-yard average, and 5 touchdowns. Look, Whiteside is a game breaker. And absolutely, they have the ability to push the ball downfield. And, you know, Oregon, Amadi's had a big year for Oregon, but again, they haven't been tested really by anyone. So this is just, I wish I could give you a more definitive answer, but I just have no idea what to expect from Oregon. I feel like Oregon, if they put this all together, I think Oregon has a chance to be really good and be a special team. But I also think Oregon has a chance to be a 7-win team, and maybe they're just mediocre. And these next four games are going to be the ones that kind of tell us how this season goes for Oregon. I just think you said it earlier, I think there's a lot more unknowns about Oregon than there is against Stanford.
Whiteside had 112 yards and 2 touchdowns in last year's game. And Bryce Love had a bigger game than I remember. He ran for 147 on just 17 carries last year.
Yeah.
In that game. And remember, Oregon didn't have Herbert.
No.
But I'm just, I don't know, just spitballing, because nobody ever talks about Costello because, well, I don't know. He's been up and down.
Yeah. So this year he's completed
better this year.
61% of his passes, 7 touchdowns to 3 picks. The offense has been good. It hasn't been great, but the defense has been rock solid. And so again, Stanford beat USC 17-3. The offense wasn't very good at all, but they just suffocated USC. Can they suffocate Oregon? And I don't know. Justin Herbert is by far the best player that they will have faced so far. And this is going to be, from a talent standpoint, I think the most mature group. USC probably has more athletes, but I don't think USC's offense is nearly as good as what Oregon's is.
Tell you what, this will be fun. It should be a good game. If Oregon starts 4-0, watch out. Watch out for the hype train, bro.
Yeah. Well,
here it comes.
Next week won't be a cupcake against Cal, but Oregon, I would think, should be able to go in there and win. And then you got the big showdown with UW rolling into Autzen.
Remember that they get a bye after Cal.
And Washington does not.
Nope.
Washington has to play that in back-to-back weeks.
Very interesting.
So it's a huge game for Oregon. It is.
Because Washington goes to UCLA the week before when Oregon's off.
Yeah.
And at one time we thought, ooh, that's a really tough back-to-back. Now you kind of look at it and go,
maybe not so much.
Chip Kelly's team is stinking it up.
They're dreadful. But you know, this is what I don't want to see happen is that if Oregon beats Stanford, then somehow we tear apart Stanford, right? Like, this is Stanford and they're overrated. But yeah, Stanford's a good football team. A lot of talent on that's on both sides of the ball. And if Oregon beats them, that's a legit win. And
totally.
And you win this game. And I think it's okay at that point for Oregon fan to get a little excited.
That's right.
Because I think on paper with the talent level you have, this has a chance to be a special year. It's just that it hasn't quite clicked and it hasn't quite come together. So the question is Oregon playing down to the competition and uninterested? Or is Oregon a little disheveled and not really on the same page?
Well, I know a lot of Oregon fans are really sort of worried about the receivers because of all the drop balls, but man,
it's been their I think the worst group.
Yeah, absolutely. But I don't know. I think if you really watch college football, and I watched literally everything last weekend, to me, it's not just Oregon. It is all over college football. Receivers cannot catch.
Yeah.
I mean, you have like five elite guys and that is it, man. Yeah. Just watch a lot. Just start paying attention to how many drops there are all around college football. Well, and it's alarming.
And it's going to be big because Stanford's going to try to bleed the clock. Look, this is going to be no different than when Stanford has tried to play Oregon in the years past. They're going to try to slow down the game and make Oregon methodically drive the ball down against you. And they're going to force Herbert to throw the underneath stuff. And if you've got receivers dropping balls, running sloppy routes, this is going to be really hard for Oregon to just kind of dink and dunk down the field.
I got Stanford. I think Stanford's going to win. I think Stanford's going to show them that they're not where they think they are, particularly on the lines, because that's what Stanford does.
Yeah.
And
I would expect Stanford to, who doesn't do a ton of this, they play a lot of two-gap stuff. I expect to see some movement against this with Stanford's defensive line. San Jose State gave Oregon fits, running slants and simple games up front. And that, honestly, of all the stuff we talked about Oregon, I think that's what scares me the most about this is how bad their offensive line looked against simple games that San Jose State was running.
Pretty alarming.
Yeah, I get that you had two guys that were banged up, but this was
weren't banged up till the end of the game.
Till the end of the game. This was supposed to be a deep veteran group with the exception of Penei Sewell, who's the star freshman. I just would have thought 3 weeks into the season, you could have handled that and should have handled that a lot better against a team like San Jose State that, to be honest with you, isn't very good.
We'll have more on this game tomorrow. Joey Harrington will join us, and he joins us every Friday. That will be at 5:30. So coming up next, we'll wrap up the hour with some NFL talk. The Bucs offense is for real. So now where will Jameis Winston go? Is he going to be traded? Will somebody want him? And we have audio. When sports figures speak, you know what this is?
I don't know what this is.
Are you prepared for this?
I'm not.
Prepare your ears.
I'm buckling in.
5:44 on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Well, got a 3-and-out by the Jets there. You'd be shocked to learn that the Browns and the Jets are scoreless.
Thursday night football. And just think, this is going to be the better part of Thursday night football. You get into like week 8-9, it gets real, real bad.
When everybody's all banged up.
Everyone's all banged up on short weeks in the road team. And for the love of God, can the Browns do something about their uniforms?
I actually don't mind those.
The all Browns?
Yeah, I think these are pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm in.
I find them just offensive to me.
I think they have a cool look.
Throw something on the side of your helmet, for God's sakes.
All right, so to the NFL. Where do we begin?
So much questions.
Well, Tampa Bay is pretty damn good.
Yeah, although...
And that came out of nowhere.
I feel like that's not going to last.
You don't think so?
No.
At least offensively?
No, it won't.
Why?
Because it's Ryan Fitzpatrick, and why is it going to last?
He's a badass. Look at
him. No, he's not. We're all way, way too committed here to Ryan Fitzpatrick being good.
Maybe the problem was Jameis Winston all along.
No, no, no. This will come crashing back down to earth at some point. Ryan Fitzpatrick over the years has been okay.
No.
He has not been a terrible quarterback.
No, he's not bad.
In stretches.
It just depends on his situation.
In other stretches, he has been awful. But what you're seeing right now is not sustainable. He will not keep this going. I'm not saying that they're going to be a bad team or that he's just all of a sudden going to be dog-ass and they're going to ride him. They won't put Jameis Winston back in. You can't.
No, even, they won't. That's interesting.
Yeah, even DeSean Jackson said, he's like, look, you can't bench the guy. He's been phenomenal through two
so
games.
So will they trade Winston?
No. No.
You don't think so?
No. They'll keep him around because Fitzpatrick isn't an answer. He's 37 years old? And he's got a career 81 QB rating.
Yeah, but you know what it is this year, bro?
It's like 100 and what? Like 140?
150.
150?
He has only not completed 13 passes. He's 48 of 61, 819 yards, 8 touchdowns in 2 freaking games.
Good Lord. So he's completing, is that almost 80% of his balls?
Yeah. Yeah, 78.7%. It's crazy.
So, but this is my point.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I'm not saying that.
That can't stay.
No, that can't, but their offense being good can. I mean, yes. They do have web. Yeah. Like, this was part of the NFL stat nerd segment. DeSean Jackson. Okay, so he's just the, what is it? He's the 23rd player. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
No, not true. He is, I got to look this up. I wrote this down wrong. Sorry, my bad.
So what you're saying is that Jackson is a player.
He's really good. He's 23rd at something.
He's very fast.
No, he tied Jerry Rice. Oh, that's what it is. I'm sorry, I'm reading it wrong. So he tied Jerry Rice for the most 60-plus yard touchdowns in NFL history. Yeah. He has 23.
Yeah, he's one of the bet. Well, tied for the best deep threat in NFL history.
Right.
Yeah.
And their run game, they're going with Peyton Barber,
mm-hmm.
but he hasn't looked so hot so far. Well, so it's really just the pass game.
They haven't had to because they just throw in the ball, and they've got O.J. Howard, and you've got Mike Evans.
They're at home on Monday night, and mm-hmm. they've got Pittsburgh's crappy-ass defense coming in there.
Yeah, he'll put up big numbers.
So there you go.
But again, everyone needs on the Ryan Fitzpatrick thing. He's a year removed from having like a quarterback rating of like 64 with the Jets, and the Jets wouldn't give him a contract. So just Aaron Rodgers this thing, everybody, with Fitzpatrick. Relax. He's not the worst quarterback in the league, but this is not sustainable. He will come back down to earth.
Okay, here's the audio when sports figures speak. Now, do you know who this is?
Well, I'm going to need to hear it before I...
Identify this voice.
Okay.
And he screwed him the last 3 or 4 years, right? When's the makeup call? 2, whatever. So they owe him a couple. That's the case enough. And then, you know, not only that, but, you know, just luck. What he means to the team, how tough he is, what type of leader he is. I don't think I've ever been around somebody that was so good and such a great, great leader. He's legit a great leader. He's an accountable individual, and then he doesn't run or get too high or too low.
You have anything on that guy?
Is that Mahomes?
No, that's Evan Turner.
That's what?
Yeah, Evan Turner of your Portland Trailblazers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, that threw me for a loop.
And the reason I played that is he has a very odd voice.
Yeah, he does.
Evan Turner.
Because I remember I heard Mahomes for the first time at his press conference. I don't remember exactly what it was, but he had a weird voice too.
Well, that's where we're going.
Oh, we're going with Mahomes?
That's where we're going.
Oh, maybe that's
where we're headed down that road.
Okay.
You're on to the scent.
Yeah, because that was the first
time. You're like a hound dog. You're like a bloodhound.
That was the first time I'd ever heard Patrick Mahomes speak, and I was like, what the hell is that?
Okay, who's this?
And also going out and recruit the great state of Louisiana. I can't wait to go out tomorrow and recruit with that big LSU on my chest, man. I just can't wait to do it.
Yeah, that's Ogeron.
That's
I really appreciate Ogeron. Coach Miles. He's been recruiting me for a while, and I knew we was going to end up together.
Now, I played that because a lot of folks are saying that Mahomes sounds like him.
You know what he sounds like? He's Jason Sudeikis dispensing some main justice. That's what he sounds like, that SNL character.
So here is Mahomes, okay?
Okay.
If you haven't heard Pat Mahomes, this is the rookie, or not a rookie, but second-year quarterback for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
He does not sound like you would think he would sound.
No.
I was talking to him about the defense. I'm glad we get to face somebody else finally. It's awesome just to get out there and be able to get into that game mode. It's preseason, but at the same time, as a competitor, you want to win. So we're going to go out there and try to win a football game. Kind of like I've said the whole camp, I just want to go out there and be efficient. I mean, hopefully get a couple drives, and hopefully can get a couple touchdowns. If it's just drives that end with running touchdowns or throwing touchdowns, whatever, just want to move the ball and be efficient.
And also going out recruiting.
I was talking to him about the defense, and I'm glad we get to face somebody else.
Where is he from?
I don't know. Well, he played
at
Texas Tech.
That's an exact mix between Turner and Ogeron right there.
Yeah, so...
He's from White House, Texas.
Okay, he is a Texas kid. He had a little draw in there.
Where the hell is White House, Texas?
Yeah, just a very odd-sounding voice there.
Yeah.
From Patty.
Yeah, he's a, it doesn't fit coming at him, especially when you look at him.
Now, Ogeron's fits.
Ogeron
also
does.
Also going out and recruit the great state of Louisiana. I can't wait to go out tomorrow and recruit.
That's a lifetime of smoking and yelling is what Ed Ogeron.
Is he a smoker?
I would assume so. Listen to that voice. And he's Cajun. He's from down in Louisiana.
Who do you think in college football smokes?
I'll bet you more than you. More
I bet
than
a lot
think.
Of. I picture a lot of old crusty assistants smoking.
Yeah, yeah. There's more people that see. There's more people that smoke than you think.
Well, yeah, because you don't ever see them, so you don't even think about it. But it's like golfers. There's a lot of golfers. You know, Kevin Na, the golfer.
Yeah,
he smokes.
Well, Obama.
And that's why they don't. Obama. That's why they don't show Kevin Na a lot on TV a lot of times. He's always sucking down a heater.
Well, that was the first time like I saw a photo of Obama smoking. It threw me for a loop. I was like, what? Like, the president can't smoke. Yes, he can.
I thought he quit, though. Didn't he say he quit?
Well, he may have said he quit.
He smoked Marlboro Reds, too.
You can't tell me that he's out there with a pack of red apples on the South Lawn lighting one up. Of course he is. Everyone that said...
I want to know everybody who smokes in sports.
All right, I'll see if I can
I want that.
Well, Vladdy smokes.
Yeah, I know that.
He used to smoke.
He smoked on the bench.
That was my favorite part about Vladdy Divac is back in the day... You could go to the Moda Center or the Rose Garden at the time, and at halftime and before games, Vladdy could be like in the hallway lighting one up before he went on the field or on the court. Mario Lemieux was a smoker. He would smoke in the locker room.
Really?
Yeah,
before, I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's some great photos of Mario lighting up, and he's one of the best hockey players of all time. My favorite sports smoking photo is Len Dawson, the quarterback of the Chiefs in Super Bowl I. He's in the locker room and he's got like a Dr. Pepper at his feet and he's smoking at halftime.
Yeah. But that was common back then.
That's when men were men. Smoking belongs in sports. It makes everything better.
Well, you know, old Bear Bryant, he'd smoke all the time.
Of course.
But now it's different. So I want to know what coach most likely smokes.
Oh, coaches or athletes?
Well, I don't know. I think the coaches, because we were talking about Ogeron.
Because I've got a list here of athletes that smoke.
All right. Who's on it?
Alex Rodriguez is a smoker.
What?
Yep.
No, regular smoker.
He was. I don't know if he still is.
Damn.
They're saying that before 2010, Tom Brady was a regular cigarette smoker.
What?
Yep.
What is this from?
This is from...
This can't be believed. This is fake news.
Yeah, ranker.com.
Tom Brady, regular smoker.
Yes. So they're saying...
Mind blown.
They're saying these are athletes that have quit smoking, but in their prime were smokers.
Wow.
Yeah, Tom Brady was...
Who else? Give me more.
Tom Brady was a smoker. Randy Moss was a smoker.
Okay.
And pot, both. Lionel Messi was a smoker up until 3 years ago.
Okay.
He was the best in the world. Kevin Durant is a smoker.
What?
Yeah. A lot of soccer players.
Are Zidane, you kidding me?
Yeah, Zidane is a smoker, which should come as a surprise to no one.
Like cigarettes.
Yes.
Kevin Durant smokes Marlboros.
I don't know what his...
That's what this is saying.
Maybe he smokes Cools. I don't know. Or Dave's.
Can we trust this for real?
I don't know.
Photos of him on here smoking.
Smoking cigarettes. Yeah. I think he's smoking weed in the pictures I'm looking at.
Well, no, I'm looking at a photo of him here. Keith Hernandez was a smoker.
It's not shocking.
Again, some soccer player. Bill Parcells was a smoker.
Not joking.
Now we're getting into old guys. Arnold Palmer, Roger Maris.
Duh.
Yeah. I'm scrolling.
Tom Brady, Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Wow. Boy, I tell you what, I will not be more floored by anything all week than that.
Supposedly they've all quit now.
And A-Rod.
But they were smokers.
Fascinating.
They were smokers during their peak. I'll see if I can find you a list of people that currently smoke. Like, all the Hollywood stars smoke.
Oh, yeah.
They just don't like to be photographed.
Right. Okay, Club 1080 coming up next on The Fan.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.